The world's most advanced color correction tool for Mac just got more powerful. DaVinci Resolve from Blackmagic Design. With XML import, export, multi-layered timelines, curve grading, noise reduction, stabilization, 3D alignment, OpenCL, and more. DaVinci Resolve is available from $995. Current users can download the updates for free. And try DaVinci Resolve Lite, a reduced featured version that's still packed with power. Visit www.blackmagicdesign.com.
What, in addition to the right equipment, does it take for the job of film editing?
Welcome to The Cutting Room. I'm your host, Gordon Burkell, and this episode we wrap up our interview with David Moritz. So in the last couple of episodes, we talked about Wes Anderson, we talked about cutting Jerry Maguire, and in this episode, we focus on Judd Apatow and his process for preview screenings, as well as working as an additional editor and working on projects such as Get Him to the Greek. We also explore the work of a fixer, someone who's brought on to repair a film that isn't quite working for the studios. All that and more on part three of my interview with David Moritz.
Now, I've heard, and I don't know if maybe you might have done this on the set, but with preview screenings or with group screenings, Judd Apatow does some special things with it to get feedback, in a sense.
Yes, it's a wonderful process, one that I was really impressed with. And I don't know if Judd would say yes or no, or whether or not it's full of it or not, but I do know that when you do two separate screenings and you push the envelope in one and you're doing the other, he's trying to cover all the bases in terms of what jokes are working, what scenes are working, where's the story lacking, but mostly, where can we take the audience joke-wise where they will tolerate us. And when you get as confident and as talented as he is, you don't have to worry about preview scores, which is a bit of an obsession in Hollywood. And certainly for comedies, the way studios gauge them is there's a certain base score that you should score. And if you score above that and get higher, they're thrilled. And if you're below it, you're in trouble. And dramas may have a base score here, but comedies are here. And it's a huge difference in terms of what the number is. So Judd's thing is, most of the time they score great anyway, but he just wants the feedback. And so what he does, and what many filmmakers do, but Judd for sure, is they film the audience with a camera up on the top, and they record the audience at every screening. And it's kind of amazing. You can hear where they get restless, and you can hear it. There's only a few times, and mind you, most comedy people wouldn't agree to this, but if a laugh is so huge every time that you can't hear the next several lines, then you may actually take a little bit of extra time until you move the story forward, because it's so funny. And we had a few laughs like that. Obviously, he's had 100 of them. But
no, because I had heard it, obviously it's probably passed around the rumor mill, so it's like slightly altered, but I'd heard that he takes that and uses the audio as a laugh track?
No, never.
Never, okay.
Never.
Because I was like, not as a laugh track, but like in the sense of putting it in so you can hear where it's working and not.
No, well, you use it as a tool. If it's an okay laugh, then that's where you say, let's try this joke in there instead of that one next time.
Okay.
If it's a home run laugh, then you know you already have it, you don't have to worry about that one. So you kind of build your movie based on that. And I don't want to just say that laughs are the most important thing, because they're not. Obviously, he's an amazing writer, and you got to write the human condition in. You know, what you do use it for is that it's not just about laughs. It's about, okay, we got him here, and now we can go back down and ratchet it up again, come back down and ratchet it up again, stuff like that.
Okay.
And I should mention that the editor I just worked with on Judd's movie Trainwreck, Bill Kerr, is a real master at it. Nobody works harder than Bill Kerr at that, and watching him and Judd work on Trainwreck was kind of amazing. And it's really a funny movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can tell you John Cena, the wrestler, has a home run scene in it. So I'll just say that.
Okay. Now, because in things like Get Him to the Greek and Bridesmaid, you were an additional editor?
Yes.
So were you brought on after they had started? So in that case, a lot of editors have started, and they've started building the sort of rhythms and style. So how do you approach the scene to start to get into that?
You know, it's funny you'd say that, because you get hired because they respect you for what you do, but at the same time, you kind of have to respect the way the movie's being made.
Yeah.
And I just happen to have the kind of the acumen and the headspace to understand what it is that Bill wants. And I go into it, and listen, it's the best job in the world. Yeah. Bill has all the headaches of making the movie, all the mixing, all the ADR, all the screenings, all the coordination of the visual effects. And I'm in a room just cutting together stuff for him, which I did on the movie Grudge Match, and I've done on Getting to the Greek and Bridesmaids. And so I just respect what it is Bill's asking for and try to deliver what it is that I'm being requested to do. Not necessarily to do what I want, but I think, you know, when you're handed a really funny scene, like the throwing up scene in Bridesmaids, you're kind of like, wow, this is great. And then they'll say, no, do this, do this, do this. Can you give me a version where this happens? And it becomes, you know, kind of a, okay, I'm going to try to interpret what they're saying and deliver the exact one. And then many times you'll say, hey, but I also did this one. Have you ever seen the Get Them to the Greek DVD? Well, just look at that.
Okay.
It'll tell you where he can go.
Yeah.
And a lot of what's in there, we did try in front of audiences. And I'm sure, look, I tell your audience, but... you know, like in Bridesmaids, the joke that ended up there about the girl having a bleached asshole was, to me, the most horrifying thing I've ever heard in my life. And I remember Judd coming in going, where's that joke? I'm like, Judd, really? And I never put it in any of my versions, but they ended up putting it in because I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But so there's a lot of that. And I guess, you know, the raunchiness just has to do with how far they're willing to push something. And I think I'm trying to remember and Get Into the Greek. There was that scene where they smoked that stuff called the Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. It's just how broad you can get, how crazy you can get. You know, the other thing they do that's really funny in lines with that is that a lot of people now kind of look forward to the DVDs outtakes. Yeah. And I think that's probably a way for them to not only blow off steam, but to have fun.
Yeah.
So when you string together a lot of that and they laugh, it really is true. When you see guys say something funny and laugh on set, it's a true laugh.
Yeah.
And I think everybody loves that kind of stuff and they respond to it. I know people on the set do, so Will Ferrell's a master.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just watching his outtakes on things or anything from Funny or Die.
Yeah, and you know, especially Anchorman, where he's talking about San Diego, and they're hysterical. And, you know, you see Christina Applegate doing everything she can to hang in there. So, you know, certain movies open themselves up to that process a lot more. I don't know that there are a lot of those on As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
But that's just the way movies get made. Everybody has their... Everybody's trying to reach the same end, but they sure do it differently, you know?
And now you also do a job as a fixer.
I do.
I was wondering if you could explain what that job is.
Generally... my agent will call me, and a producer has reached out to him. And that means that the studio and the producers went in and looked at a film and identified the problems with it and are wondering why the movie that they were on set for didn't seem to be realized on the first screening or second or third. And most of the time, the producers are convinced, and rightly so, and even the director, that there was probably a better movie in there. And it takes a lot for a director, or mostly the directors, to say, all right, bring somebody in. Maybe they can do a better job. And as I said in my speech, there's a lot of times where they weren't so thrilled to have me there. The producers were. So that's kind of your deal with the devil. You just got to say, well, the director's going to hate me either way, but I'll do my best to give a new movie to the producers. Yeah. Now, once again, I have this great thing where I can go in and say, look, man, if you don't want to keep it, don't. Yeah. You already have this movie. If you're happy with this movie, great. So you... meet with them, you watch the film, you read the script, and you see the, it's usually pace, humor, music, and you try to identify those problems. And many times, it's shocking to me though, many times, and I guess I'm not trying to take any of the editors who've done that to task at all, because, you know, they may have been guided by the director or whatever. Whatever led to it, it's my job to present them a new version of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's fun, it's challenging. Because, you know, you're not starting with Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
But usually if you can find the strengths of the movie and sort of enhance those strengths, it's surprising how much better they get.
So how do you approach the films?
You kind of just sit there and watch it. And you know what I really do? I just build it from square one.
Oh, yeah.
I may use the cut that they had. I may actually go back to the director's cut or look through. They may be, most movies will have six versions of what they've been doing.
Yeah.
So you look at the versions for each scene, and I may pick one to start from. Other times I'll start from square one, but generally you have to look at the dailies. And if you find this moment, and it's funny to me because I'll say to my assistant on this one, Craig Hayes, I go, wow, why isn't that in the movie?
Yeah.
And you have no idea why, but I'll damn well put it in there and have them watch it. Yeah. And if they like it, I'm happy. And it's really that simple to reconceive the movie. And, you know, the selfish thing about it is that they leave you alone and you're alone to do it. And it's fun.
Now, I have one last question that I ask all the editors I interview, and that's, what's your favorite guilty pleasure film to watch?
Broadway Danny Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it about?
Love that
one?
Movie. So you should see it. It's a Woody Allen movie where he plays a down on his luck talent agent, meets Mia Farrow, who's married to a guy in the mob. He gets killed. He gets mixed up in the mob's hijinks. But the heart of it is so wonderful because he's a true down on his luck talent agent in New York in the 80s. And he like has a one-armed juggler and a ventriloquist with a lisp and a funny guy, but he's a heroin addict. And I mean, all these guys. And anyway, his main character, Lou Canova, is a guy singing on cruise ships, a big Italian dude. And his career kind of starts to move and leaves him in the wake. The other one I guess I would say is a Western called The Big Country with Gregory Peck and Charlton Heston. And because on the movie Town and Country, which was not very good, but I did get to meet and talk to Charlton Heston a lot, and I got to ask him about The Big Country. And that is one of my favorite memories, and I will always cherish it, to be able to ask somebody about a movie they made in 1952 with the great director William Wyler. And so I would say, you know what my guilty pleasures are? I wish I could tell you that I went to see all the cool movies that are out there, but there's an old term called A Busman's Holiday.
Okay.
And I just, on a Saturday night, would rather, but at home, I love Westerns, love them to death. And, you know, loved all those big Hobbit movies.
Do you like the spaghetti Westerns or like
I like iconic American Westerns. I'm not a giant John Wayne fan.
Yeah.
You know, I liked a few of his movies, but more of the, just the sort of the classic Randolph Scott Westerns. Jimmy Stewart made great Westerns. Gregory Peck made great Westerns. I love a good Western.
Thank you for allowing me to interview.
My pleasure.
That was my third part of my interview with David Moritz. If you're going to be at NAB, make sure to check us out at our booth. It's SL15816. And of course, you can always find us roaming. We're going to be doing a lot of interviews around on the floor. Make sure to let us know if you're going to be at NAB so we can keep an eye out for you. You can get us at info@aotg.com, or you can get us on Twitter @AOTGNetwork, or on Facebook, facebook.com/AOTGNetwork. This episode was cut by John Passifer, and I'd like to thank John for cutting this episode. I'd like to thank David Moritz for allowing me to interview him. I'm your host, Gordon Burkell. Thanks for listening.